This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Stir up your power, O Lord, and with great might come among us. And because we are sorely hindered by our sins, let your bountiful grace and mercy speedily help and deliver us. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. Stir up! As that collect begins, before the revisions in the liturgy and the prayer book, this was a collect that we would hear on this Sunday. Hence, in many Anglican circles around the world, this is considered Stir Up Sunday, for a very practical reason as well. Because those who were going to be making their Christmas puddings needed to get the ingredients ready so that it could sort of ferment before you cook it later in Advent towards Christmas. And hence, today was a reminder, stir up your Christmas pudding. Stir up. Well, Jesus is certainly stirring it up today, isn't he? We celebrate the final Sunday of our church year on this feast that is relatively recent. It was started by the Pope back in 1925 because of the growing secularism in society, and they decided that they would establish this feast day as we celebrated the last Sunday of the church year to acknowledge who we ultimately are responsible and accountable to, hence Christ the King, or the reign of Christ, adapted by us and most other major Christian denominations along the way. Stir up. I want to tell you a little story that some of you have probably heard from me before, but for me, it gets to the point of what's going on in this gospel today. I was in college, and there was a Vincentian priest who had quite a reputation. He was an incredibly good teacher, but he also was rumored to have been an ex-boxer who had a temper. And it was also well known that in one of his classes along the way, one of the students was acting too much like a smart aleck, and he gave him a right hook and put the guy out. We were scared of this guy. A group of my friends decided he was offering this special high-level class in American history. And so five of us signed up for it. And it was a tough class. And we would feverishly take notes. We would get together afterwards in study groups. And we would share our notes so that we could do well as best we could. And certainly we didn't want to upset this guy. It came time that the final exam was going to happen. And we were doing everything we could to prepare for this exam. And so we went to some of the former students who had taken this course before, and they shared with us the final exams that he had given to them. And so we used these for some of our study notes. And we come in for the final exam, and he comes barreling in. He hands out the exams, and he says, "I'm going to leave. And if I discover that any of you cheated or gave answers to each other, I'll kill you." And we believed it. He leaves the room. We open the exam. And guess what? It's the exact exam we have used for our study notes from the last year. Now, you would think that we would be overjoyed, but what we assumed was, we're all going to get 100. He's going to assume then that we cheated off one another. And yes, he is going to come back and kill every one of us. So we complete the exam. And we had a little discussion about what are we going to do after the fact. So we decided we would call in another priest and we would fess up to this professor. We wanted another priest there because we thought he's never going to murder us in the presence of another clergy person. So we were scared, shaking in our boots. We tell him what happened, and he just chuckles and laughs, and he says, "Well, I guess you guys are smarter than me. You all get an A." Wow. We can be really concerned about what's going to be on the final exam. The good news today with this gospel, Jesus gives us the final exam. Jesus tells us very clearly, this is what is going to be on the final exam. This is what really matters. And you know, he's been doing that for 4 weeks. We had the All Saints celebration and we missed the faithful and unfaithful parable. We had those bridesmaids who didn't have the oil in their lamp. Last week, we had this wonderful one about the talents of risking and using the gifts God gives to us. And now we get this last one that is the ultimate. Separating the sheep from the goats. Now, to Jesus' audience, growing up in that agricultural society, they would certainly understand this story because they experienced it in everyday life. It was something that a shepherd or a goat herd had to do every night. You would have sheep and goats in the same pasture. And of course, sheep have all that wool that can keep them warm at night so they could stay outside. But the goats, they don't have such a thick coat of fur to keep them warm. So the goats had to be separated and put inside where they could be kept warm. So this would be a daily occurrence. They would be familiar with this image. But the other thing that they were familiar with is the misconception as to what was going to happen at the last judgment. They were all convinced, as God's chosen people, when all of those people get separated, we're going to be the sheep because of who we are. And so when Jesus starts telling the story, and he starts it by saying, all the nations of the earth will be assembled. Oh my gosh, I mean, they're just saying, oh, here it comes. He's going to tell us, we're going to be the sheep. What a surprise. It has nothing to do with your background, with your ancestors, with your particular religious outlook on life. It simply has everything to do with how we treat one another, how we love, how we reach out, how we give those cup of cold water as we hear in John's gospel, how we are taking care of those who are less fortunate than us. That's the only determining factor that matters. Love. Now, if you were here last week or perhaps watched us online, Eva gave that incredible testimonial for herself about visiting those who are in prison, about going out of her comfort zone and doing something. And look what an impact it had on her journey, and a challenge she gave to all of us to do the same in whatever way God is calling us to do that. That becomes the ultimate final exam. The good news, Jesus tells us. Now, he tells us these things, sorry for the language, but he's not trying to scare the hell out of us. But he's trying to get us to a point where we can start doing what God is calling us to do now that's going to prepare us for the ultimate experience of that in heaven. Because we start experiencing that on earth now by going out of our comfort zone and finding that there is the ultimate joy. Dallas Willard, that great writer and teacher, how many times does he say in his writing, you know, if you don't work and enjoy doing what God is calling us to do and living the life that we are called to live now, well, what makes us think we're going to be able to do that and enjoy it when we get to heaven? It becomes this call for us now to be looking for the ways more and more that God is calling us, as C.S. Lewis would say, to move from that need love, the type of love we do things because we're going to get something out of it, to just doing it for the sake of doing the right thing, because that's my nature as I grow into Christ-likeness. Notice in this story, the goats, the people who were shunned away, well, they didn't know that it was Christ that was there. But notice as well, the sheep, they didn't know it was Christ either. When did we do this? We didn't know it was you, God, but they did it. And it's oftentimes after the fact. I mean, look at the scriptures. Look at so many things that happen in saints' lives. Saint Francis, who's got this terrible fear of being around lepers, and he ends up being called, and he goes, and he hugs the leper after he helps the leper out, and it's after that he realizes the leper was Jesus. Saint Martin, who we talked about a couple of weeks ago, tears his cloak in half, gives half of it to the beggar. He doesn't know who that beggar is, but after the fact, in that dream and vision, he realizes it was Jesus. It is this constant move that we are called to make. None of us are there totally yet. But Jesus today, in giving us the answers to the final exam, does that for the purpose of helping us to know you want to move along in your spiritual journey. Here's how you do it. And so it becomes quite an opportunity for each one of us. As we conclude this liturgical year, we are going to be moving into that Advent holiday season. What an incredible opportunity put before us in the season of giving, huh? To look for creative ways that God might be calling each one of us uniquely to move into ways of living that are more in accord with getting the answers right for that final exam. Let's see what we can do. Amen.